right, hello my darlings, and welcome back to another exciting adventure right here on Radio Wasteland, the best in paranormal talk radio. I'm your host, Chauncey Haworth. This is my co-host, Kara Kittrick.
Hello.
Kara, do you have any news for us today?
Yes, I do. So, first off, I'm going to tell you all how the movie Frozen may have helped solve a 60-year-old cold case from Russia that has been plaguing the paranormal community for decades, and which we did a show about a year or two earlier. Quick rundown. In the Dyatlov Pass incident, a bunch of hikers went out into the middle of the mountains and were never seen again, but their tents and bodies were found torn to shreds and strewn about a large area as though some of them were running from some sort of monster. The monster in question may have been a simple avalanche, according to researchers who used the hyper-accurate code for simulating snow from Disney's Frozen to model the forces involved in an avalanche on the mountain, and determined that due to the shape of the pass, it would have been perfectly possible for snow and falling ice to rip apart human bodies in that way. Recompose, the first human composting funeral home in the U.S., opened last week. They've taken the concept of green burials, where people are buried out in nature in a biodegradable box, thus essentially being naturally composted by the wilderness, to its logical conclusion. People buried here are placed in ecologically friendly vessels where they decompose into healthy soils. The inside of their operation centers look fairly terrifying because there are just a bunch of bins of dirt where people are going to be rotting. And finally, Representative Justin Humphrey introduced a bill last month in the Oklahoma state legislature to establish an official Bigfoot hunting season, with a $25,000 reward for capturing the creature. Quote, a lot of people don't believe in Bigfoot, but a lot of people do, he said in a press release, citing the tourism dollars that could be drawn into the state as a result of this bill. No word yet on whether said bill is likely to pass or even reach the floor. If not, the cryptids can breathe easy for another day. Back to you, Chauncey.
All right, frozen cold case. Okay, I find this disappointing, yeah, but not all that shocking, because what if Disney is basically saying that they're responsible for this?
I don't think Disney
How else would they know? I don't know, man. They're evil.
Are you saying they have an actual Elsa squirreled away? He's just, like, is this a Who Killed Roger Rabbit kind of situation, but clandestine? Yeah. They've got all their tunes, like,
they got her
in
moused away
somewhere.
They got her moused away. Yeah. Now, I don't know, but in all seriousness, this is one of my faves.
Yeah.
Because this one touches down on a couple of things that I really like, you know, fascists and communists in the snow and big military budgets and crazy Bell alien artifact. I mean, this thing, you know, this thing pulls in everything that utilitarian utopia hellhole, you know, this is like it. This is it.
Okay, you're going to have to refresh my memory on some of the details of the Dyatlov Pass incident.
I don't know. To me, this is like, Nazi Russian research and sound laser things causing people to go ape crap out in the middle of the wilderness. And, you know, it fulfills so many of my horror movie tropes that I'm just like, I've loved this one.
Oh,
so it's a little disappointing that A, it might be solved, that B, it was solved by Disney, and C, that it has anything to do with Frozen, because, you know, haven't we all had enough?
Well, we have. This is definitely a case that, like, ticks a lot of boxes in terms of just sheer, like, Eastern European thriller potential.
Yeah.
Like, which I think is what you were saying. Avalanches is less interesting than a secret Tommy Sasquatch got loose or something. But,
yeah, is there no magic left in the world?
Yeah,
is there no secret Tommy Sasquatches left in this world?
There is, and it's owned by Disney.
Yeah, totally. And then human composting, I think we're in agreement on this one. I think it's a great idea. That's what I really kind of wanted to be done with my body. I don't like the idea that you know, I'm going to be pumped full of goo and put in the ground in order to look good for nobody. I would rather just get it over with, you know, rip the Band-Aid off, turn me into mulch, and, you know, let's make that happen.
Well, we talked to Thomas Prower, I believe it was, a while ago, about his books, but we sort of veered into the death industry stuff because he, like, works in it.
Right.
And what he told us basically was that, the profit motive has basically encouraged these industries to make standard burial practices the things that are most expensive and least environmentally friendly. Right. Like, traditional burial, you've got to have, like, your really expensive steel coffin or whatever in a concrete burial vault so the ground is nice and flat. And, you know, you've got to have the embalming chemicals, which leach into the soil and cause problems, and it takes up a lot of space, and it's really expensive.
Yeah, but if you mulch me up real good, you can just spread me on top.
Exactly. The Fargo method, I like
right.
to call
yeah,
it.
Right, yeah,
yeah. Yeah.
I suppose that's your friend there, the wood chipper. Yeah.
See, I'm pretty sure they don't actually mulch the body.
They should.
They put the body in with, like, wood chips and stuff, and there's a whole process to, like, oxygenate it and make sure it decomposes quickly. I don't think they are actually, like, just shredding the body.
I get you, but I'm probably using up too much time here, but this is an example of humanity getting caught up in invented humanity. It's right. like, you know, it's a lot like sex. You know, have you ever seen Little House on the Prairie?
No.
Okay, in Little House on the Prairie, all of them slept upstairs. The mom, the dad, and the 37 children that they had.
Sure.
Sure, for the first one, they had privacy. But for the 36 following children, they were all in the same room.
Right.
You know, and... That's, you know, Charles Ingalls, we think of him as being so great, but really he's getting it on in a room full of children. You know, this humanity normalness is not quite what people would put it in caves and so on and so forth.
Right. We're very sanitized.
Right. You know, because really if I had my choice, you'd put me on a boat and fire an arrow perfectly in order to burn me on a lake.
Like a Viking?
Yes. Or at least Darth Vader style, you know.
Although the Vikings never actually did that.
I don't care. Yeah, obviously, I moved on to Darth Vader. This is a movie thing. It has nothing to do with Vikings.
Nothing to do with reality. Okay.
Right, yeah, yeah. Then Bigfoot hunting season. This is wrong for several reasons.
I don't know. I think that's a good idea.
For one, is Bigfoot sentient? If it is, we probably shouldn't hunt it. For two, we don't know if this thing exists, so I think it's safe to put it in the highly, highly endangered category, in which case we should probably also not hunt it.
That is fair. However, if a specimen were to be brought back, then that would be the craziest news story of the last 200 years. Like...
It would be. It would be. Unless the following news story, the following week was, turns out we killed the last one.
We're not going to kill the last one.
It's possible.
It's technically possible, yes, but no one has brought back a body yet. No one has, like, conclusively shot a Bigfoot. So this is not the passenger pigeon here. We are not felling the Bigfoots in droves.
Well, I think we might have answered some of our own questions, and that is that maybe Bigfoots are Bigfoot composting, and they're mulching their dead.
Maybe, yeah. Maybe they've just got, you know, been somewhere. Maybe, you know, how sometimes when you're just wandering in the wilderness and you come across a sketchy greenhouse and you're like, we got to get out of here because these are drug dealers. Maybe it's not drug dealers. Maybe it's Bigfoots mulching their dead.
Makes sense. All right, you got more reasonable questions like the ones we just proposed, maybe about Bohemian Grove? Well, that's what we're talking about next. If you don't know what Bohemian Grove is, it seems like it might be one of the starting points of some of this this QAnon conspiracy. So we're going to dig into that a bit, and come on back. You're listening to Radio Wasteland. I don't know what time it was when I had that stuff. I don't know what condition I was in when the rocks set.
You know, it can be difficult to find a trustworthy, knowledgeable, and yet affordable auto repair shop. Advanced Automotive is a second-generation, locally owned, full-service repair shop serving our community since 1993, and one of only four AAA-approved auto repair shops in the Reading area. Advanced Automotive has a goal, and it's to keep it simple to have safe, reliable vehicles for our customers and our community. Call or come by to meet the crew who is here to serve you. 244-4423. Advanced Automotive.
North State Now is a magazine formatted show at 6 p.m. every Thursday night. The first Thursday is yours truly, Linda Bott, featuring what's going on in our town. The second Thursday is hosted by Michelle Slade, featuring heroes of the North State. The third Thursday is hosted by none other than James Masada and Rhonda Alvey from Enjoy the Magazine and Enjoy the Store. Our newest edition is the fourth Thursday of the month, Women of Vision. That's North State Now, Thursday at 6 p.m., also streaming on KCNR 1460.com.
Join Aaron Ryan and Bill Cundiff for We the People Radio every Sunday from noon until 2. Our expert guests will give you the whole story rather than a bunch of sound bites. Our commercial-free archives are always available at wethepeopleradio.us.
Sponsored in part by Pape Machinery, located at 3119 Twinview Boulevard, for all your local John Deere Ag and Turf products. Join us every Sunday from noon until 2, wethepeopleradio.us.
What shall we do about them?
It's never too late to achieve your dream, to turn a skill into a career. At Shasta College, we have late start classes right now and online classes where the commute from the couch to the class has never been easier. We're also offering 8-week compressed classes, same units, half the time. Now is the right time to upskill or reskill for high-demand jobs employers are hiring for. Find out more. Visit ShastaCollege.edu today.
I'm Lee Hull.
And I'm Lee Esses.
And we co-host Writing Room.
It's a 10-minute podcast in which we, an author,
and her editor,
cover lessons we've learned about the writing process.
This podcast is for storytellers of all kinds. We discuss everything from the hero's journey to how to slog through that pesky middle section of your book. From filling out your author's toolbox to answering your questions about the craft and the industry. From magic to mayhem.
In January, we're covering pearls from the masters of the craft. This includes names that you know like Stephen King, Lee Child, and Neil Gaiman. In February, we bring you writing prompts for the middle of your book.
So whether you're an experienced storyteller or still working on that first book,
now is the time to check us out.
Writing Roots is available on iTunes, Spotify, and anywhere you find your podcasts. And don't forget to always
write selfishly.
Radio Wasteland comes to you from the Reading studios of Free Fire Radio, 96.5 FM and AM 1460. Visit Radio Wasteland at Instagram at instagram.com/Radio Wasteland.
All right, welcome back to Radio Wasteland. And tonight, Kara and I will be talking about Bohemian Grove. You know, this was a suggestion from Andrea, and I had never heard of this. Had you heard of this prior?
I've never heard of it at all. I learned a lot reading it. I think broadly I had this idea in mind that, yeah, the rich are, as a class, generally just, you know, parts of various good old boys clubs around the world. And that's true. I mean, you've got your fraternities, you've got your private school alums, you've got all kinds of things. But yeah, reading about the Bohemian Grove is like, wow, they really just have a summer camp for incredibly rich people.
Yeah, yeah, and it's totally real. Okay, so I got to put this out there to people. I understand why this place is ripe for conspiracy.
It is totally
real. It totally exists. Bohemian Grove is a restricted 2,700 acre campground in Montrio, California. And it belongs to a private San Francisco-based gentleman's club known as the Bohemian Club. And in mid-July each year, Bohemian Grove hosts a more than two-week encampment of some of the most prominent men in the world. And right. The Bohemian Club is a private club with two locations. There's also one in Union Square, District of San Francisco. And, yeah, I was just...
And to talk about, like, kind of the reality of, like, how powerful some of these people are, members have included Ronald Reagan, George H.W. Bush, Richard Nixon.
You know, right, yeah.
Herbert Hoover. Yeah. This stuff goes back to the 1870s, I believe it was founded, though it didn't really become its current self until, like, the 20th century.
You know, one of the founding members was Ambrose Bierce, of the founding members. So,
who's Ambrose Bierce?
What?
Who's Ambrose Bierce?
Oh, he is a sort of pulp before there was pulp writer. He was a short story writer that was a big influence on people like Howard and Lovecraft and stuff like that.
Right. Yes. Okay.
And all the original founding members really were bohemians. They were all painters and artists and stuff like that. But actors. You're right. It turned into...
Right.
And to be fair, it was started at a time where men and women being separated was the norm. You know,
sure.
So Gentlemen's Club at the time is not quite as nefarious as it might be today.
Right. Yeah. Well, we'll talk about some of the gender politics around this later.
But right. But yeah, you're right. Ronald Reagan, Caspar Weinberger, George H.W. Bush, Herbert Hoover, Henry Kissinger.
Mm-hmm. Henry Kissinger. Yeah, that was another
one. Theodore Roosevelt and Jennings S. Cox, who I only made note of because he's the man credited with inventing the daiquiri, which I assume might have some part of this as well.
Oh.
Because there seems to be a lot of drinking at this thing.
Yeah, so by all accounts, the actual activities of the Bohemian Grove, you know, situation are fairly harmless. Like, so they basically have a summer, you know, getaway retreat type of thing every year. And people come, and it's basically just a lot of drinking, hiking, talking, et cetera, et cetera. But... Like, it's an ethos of the club that you're sort of supposed to leave all the networking and stuff at the door.
Mm-hmm.
And that sounds super suspicious. Like, yeah, sure, they are. But by all accounts of people who have infiltrated it, they basically do. Hmm. But to be clear, I'm not saying it's not nefarious.
Well, they're also known for having speeches and presentations and a yearly play and...
Right. It's mostly recreational.
Right.
But it's still an opportunity for incredibly rich people to become friends with other incredibly rich people, which I don't love.
Well, that's really where, you know, the groups of rich people hanging out. So this is why people don't think, like, the local Beanie Baby collecting club is nefarious.
Right.
Because the reason why they all got together was because they like Beanie Babies. This group is a group of people who got together. It's really hard to explain this because originally it was really art for art's sake, and it was artistic. Yeah. And
well, I mean, even in the beginning, it was like upper class artists, but it quickly became the thing we have in common is being just obscenely, ridiculously rich.
Right, right. Well, I was looking for a quote. There's some quote by somebody who basically said that initially it was like art and artists, and that slowly over time it got so overtaken by businessmen that mainly the art and artists were just there to entertain the rich.
Yeah, pretty much.
You know, and
I think that's back to
the Beanie Babies. Beanie Babies, not nefarious, but a group of people who get together solely because they are rich.
Mm-hmm.
I can see why there's a lot of...
rich and powerful.
Again. Rich and powerful, yeah. I can see why there's, like, a lot of issue with that. Although, you know, it makes you want to jump to this conclusion that it's a Bilderberg sort of thing where they're, like, controlling society. But, you know, two of the living members that are there right now, that are members right now as we speak, are Newt Gingrich, right? Terrifying, powerful.
Very powerful man.
And Bob Weir.
Weird.
From the Grateful Dead. So it's like,
that makes sense.
You know, what do these people talk about? They have different clubs? Do they play chess with the world, maybe?
Honestly, I think they probably talk about rich people problems. I think, look, if you've got a 500 million, a billion, you know, tens of billions of dollars, who do you relate to? Your trophy wife? Your kids? Like, your employees? No, you are not like anyone you know, unless you go to events like this.
Well, then in that case, I kind of support it, you know? I mean, maybe they need some human interaction in order to...
See, I agree with you, except that I think these people simply should not... Like, I think having this amount of wealth inherently makes you evil, mm-hmm. So I don't want them to be evil and organized. That, to me, seems like a problem, like a recipe for disaster. And they are organized, you know? They're incredibly active in politics, most of these people. Just when you look at the ultra-wealthy as a class, they are incredibly active in politics, and they are, most people don't know this, but, like, homogenous in terms of what they believe.
Right.
You know, there's this viewpoint that the Silicon Valley billionaire types are pretty liberal, and, you know, your Texas oil billionaire types are pretty conservative. And on social issues, that's true. But on economic issues, with the exception of guys like Warren Buffett and George Soros, some very high, you know, well-known exceptions, they are pretty much all ultra-conservative.
Financially.
Yes.
When it comes to taxes.
Economically speaking.
Right.
Which is, of course, no surprise, because, like, they don't want to get taxed more.
Mm-hmm.
But you can see that effect in our politics. Like, they own our media. They own our politicians. And get-togethers like this, even if they aren't discussing business at these things, this is where they go to, like, form social groups that later on become organizational control the world groups.
Right.
And so, yes, I hate everything about this.
So it is ripe for conspiracy. You know, out of just curiosity, I looked up the net worth of Newt Gingrich, and he's a 6.7 million.
6.7. That's actually a lot less than I thought.
Yeah, but Bob Weir, however, is 60 million. So
right,
he's got.
But Newt Gingrich is a lot more powerful than most people who have, you know, $6 million.
Totally.
Like, there are some doctors probably who have $6 million, but mm-hmm. Newt Gingrich is. Well, I don't know if he's still super powerful, just because, like, it's. His heyday was more like in the 90s, but, like, he knows all the players in the federal government, like, in national politics. Like, he's...
Yeah, well, I mean, you gotta ask yourself.
That's a powerful
yourself,
man, like, just from his connections.
If you were to put him into a fight, like, who would win? Like, 300 armed Proud Boys or, like, 30,000 hippies over the age of 60? Like, let's say we were to pit Bob Weir against Newt Gingrich's army, you know?
See, that wasn't quite the type of power I was talking about,
oh, okay.
But it is an interesting thought. Aging hippies versus the... It doesn't look great for the aging hippies.
Well, I don't know, you know, there's a... They still got to reload, you know. There's still a downtime when they got to reload.
That is true.
Yeah. All right, so that's enough joking around about the Bohemian Grove. When we come back, we're going to talk about... Everybody's favorite, Alex Jones, who infiltrated Bohemian Grove,
mm-hmm.
and just what he found there. You're listening to Radio Wasteland talking about what? Rich people. We'll be right back.
Pacific Justice Institute. This is The Legal Edge.
Democracy Prep Charter School in Las Vegas, Nevada is being sued by a senior for violating his First and 14th Amendment rights. You see, William Clark was directed to unlearn his Judeo-Christian values or suffer failing grades and no graduation.
We rely on your generous support to continue to provide justice for all. Learn more at pji.org.
These are unprecedented times, challenging how the YMCA works to strengthen community as we have for nearly 170 years. But we've always found ways to help people and communities in times of crisis. Right now, Ys across the country are providing emergency childcare, shelter, food programs, and outreach to seniors. But we can't do it alone. Whether you're connected to the Y or have a fond Y memory, we need you to stay with us. Reach out to your local Y today and stay with us for a better us.
Al Gordon, Coachmaster Collision. Although Coachmaster is recognized as the authority and specialist in frame and suspension, we are primarily your auto body and truck collision repair center. This includes all vehicles, Lexus, Honda, or pickup trucks. Our technicians are highly trained and have the most advanced equipment to ensure a complete and quality repair. With our knowledge and the insurance claim process, all we need is your claim number to handle your claim. Coachmaster has a great working relationship with all insurance companies. This ensures a complete repair with quality parts and a delay-free process. At Coachmaster, in our 50 years in business, we've experienced almost every situation imaginable in a claim. This experience and personal dedication to the repair of your vehicle sets Coachmaster apart from all other choices. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
At Reading Electric Utility, we recognize the value of education and the impact it can have on our families and our community. Interested in pursuing a career in science, technology, engineering, or math? Start by applying for a college scholarship or technical school grant offered by Reading Electric Utility. For more information about available scholarships and grants, visit cityofreading.org/ruscholarships. Applications must be submitted by March 10, 2021. Your future looks bright.
What is a hero? A hero serves when no one else is ready to. A hero helps everyone, never asking for any praise. They stand ready to do whatever is needed. They have picked up the mantle of heroism when we have needed it the most. And their tireless dedication can never be appreciated enough. We want to thank all of our local heroes. We could not get through these times without their courage. We thank you for everything that you do.
You're listening to Chauncey and Kara on Radio Wasteland right here on 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. That's Free Fire Radio. And don't forget to follow Radio Wasteland on Facebook at facebook.com/radiowasteland.us.
All right, welcome back to Radio Wasteland, and we are talking about Bohemian Grove, Kara and I, which was new to us. Might not be new to you guys out there, however, because it does seem like a very core possible starting point for this whole belief that the government is full and that powerful people are full of cannibalistic, Satan-worshipping, bloodletting pedophiles. It does seem like a prime place for that conspiracy to spring from. I mean, don't
So the Bohemian Grove is kind of Elks Club-y in the sense that they've got, like, traditional rituals and stuff. Which have, you know, guys like Alex Jones have infiltrated and been like, oh my god, this is child worship, sacrifice, this is demon worship. Which, you know, no, it's...
Well, okay, so to be fair, they have this, their
bonfire
longest,
thing.
Yeah, their longest running bonfire, what's that thing called? It's called like the center of something, the cremation
something.
Of care. The cremation
yeah.
of care.
It's called something pretty creepy.
And so what they do is they, on a raft, they bring out this body of a person. But, I mean, it's not a person. It's a fake fake person. Though Alex it's Jones, I think, might argue that it's not. And they bring him into the square where he's met, where the body is met by people in cloaks.
Mm-hmm.
Where they then burn the body in a bonfire in front of a statue of an owl.
Right.
So
the owl is like their symbol.
Is their symbol. Their symbol of, mm-hmm. of wisdom or whatever. And
yeah.
So I definitely see. So what was it? It was about 2000 that Alex Jones and a cameraman snuck into this place. They like literally snuck in. They didn't like get.
Yeah. No, they didn't infiltrate it. They went to the property and illegally trespassed. Which in this instance, I generally do not support Alex Jones. In this instance, please stick it to the rich people. Do your thing.
Right, right. In a situation where you might get shot.
Yes.
No matter what the turnout.
Exactly, exactly. I would be fine with any way this turns out.
Right. So I was a little impressed because I kind of view Alex Jones as being kind of a big faker when it comes to being a
death guy,
you know. But I was a little impressed that he took a single cameraman and hiked through acres of woods. This was before he sold out. Hiked through.
This was when he was just a tinfoil hat dude, not a super rich tinfoil hat dude who, you know, makes zillions of dollars.
I see.
Earning, you know, money by fleecing gullible people out of their savings.
Right.
Like.
Okay, so they sneak in, and he actually films this. This bonfire thing. And I guess the footage is then taken and turned into two documentaries, which is interesting. One of the documentaries illustrates all this footage as though, look at these weird old men and what they're doing. This is ridiculous. These people are ridiculous and need to get a life and are not connected to real life here in America. The other, Alex Jones's documentary, views it as Satan worshiping and child sacrifice and all this stuff, which, you know, I gotta say, there is photographs and stuff of them, like what appears to have a child strapped to a board and doing a fake lynching of a mannequin. There's some weird stuff out there, you know.
There is some weird stuff, by all accounts of, you know, all the people who have infiltrated it, all of the people who have talked about it. The overwhelming consensus is that this seems to just be recreational nonsense. But again, not saying I don't hate these people. I'm just saying I hate them for boring reasons, not because they're Satanists. If they were Satanists, that would make me respect them more, honestly.
Right. Yeah. Well, I mean, at least
maybe they're the caretakers of some kind of eldritch truth, not just a bunch of idiots who have way too much money.
Yeah, like Cabin in the Woods style, like maybe they're protected.
Exactly.
Right, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, you know, maybe they are like servants of some demon lord who's opposing God and has given them their riches and their power. That I could get behind.
Right, and their great-great-great-great-grandfather sold them out years ago in their souls, and now they have no choice, and really they just want freedom from this oppression, but they have no choice but to dress like freaks in the woods and sacrifice mannequins.
Yeah, or they're just evil sorcerers. But the real truth, which is that they are just out of touch idiots who have lots and lots of money due to inheritance and lucky breaks and all kinds of other stuff.
I don't know. I'm sticking with evil sorcerer. You know, have you ever seen Storm of the Century, that Stephen King miniseries?
No.
Where everybody gets snowed in on the island, and the guy comes and he's all, give me what I want and I'll go away. And he's like there to. You haven't seen this? I don't want to give it away. It's great.
No.
It's like my favorite Stephen King miniseries, which is not hard because a lot of them are terrible. But this one is actually good. Worth watching.
Anyway, I would respect evil sorcerers. I do not respect wealthy people amusing themselves.
Right, but you have to. You know, do you think that there's any truth to these skull and bones groups, to this stuff, like in a, you know,
hmm.
So Harley, My daughter, a couple of months back, decided that the country was so torn apart that we needed a new national anthem.
Okay.
And that she wanted We Didn't Start the Fire. And that needed Fair. To be the new national anthem that was played at the swearing in of any president, of games and everything. You know, my personal pick is The Boy in the Plastic Bubble by Paul Simon, where he's basically talking about how the earth is ruled by a loose affiliation of millionaires and billionaires. You know,
yeah, pretty accurate.
So I see a disconnect here. Both of us are believers that the world might be ruled by billionaires and millionaires. Billionaires.
Oh, I think
billionaires and
is.
Newt. But we don't seem to give much credit to the fact that things like the Bohemian Club is potential hub of this happening.
Oh, I think it's absolutely a hub of it happening. I think it's part of the process. You know, this is not where the meetings happen. This is not where people basically form cartel-like business agreements and decide policy for the masses.
Mm-hmm.
This is just where people get to know each other. But once they know each other, it's, you know, it's the good old boys club. They they then can have these meetings elsewhere because, hey, I've got the phone number of the head of General Electric right here. Why don't I talk to him about this bill that, you know, I'm thinking of passing? Why don't I get his input?
Right.
You know?
Right.
The concerning part about this is that, like, the only companionship that these rich people have are other incredibly rich people, which is going to lead to a situation where the wealthy of the world are, you know, running things for, you know, to advance their own interests and without any particular care for what happens to anyone else.
I get that, but like a couple of weeks ago, I was talking to my other daughter, Jasmine,
uh-huh.
And I was basically saying to her that, you know, conspiracies and government stuff is disappointing because none of it's actually Satan worshiping cannibals, that it's really just.
Right.
Rich people, and there's no such thing as like a true James Bond villain. And she just turns to me and she's all, what about Epstein's sex island? And I said, all right, you got yourself a point there. You know, maybe this is the,
yeah,
the retreat. All right. Well, we're not too far off a break here. Maybe we should go to break, and we'll talk a little bit more about the Bohemian Club and Bohemian Grove when we come back. But I will say, Alex Jones, I'm a little impressed that you went through the woods and did this, you know. So
yeah.
If ever I'm forced to speak at your eulogy, give a eulogy at your... this will probably be the one thing I'm willing to talk about. All right. You're listening to Radio Wasteland. Come on back. Thank you.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Common Senior Living. One of the most rewarding things about what I do is watching the positive transformation that often occurs when a senior moves here to our beautiful, independent retirement community. Seniors can become isolated, find it hard to eat good, healthy meals, and even just get around. I call this a failure to thrive. At River Commons, we solve those challenges. You are surrounded by friendly people with similar life experiences. Chef Shalisa and her crew provide 3 delicious and healthy meals daily. Activities Director Ernie always has a wide variety of things to do, from arts and crafts to outings on our 25-passenger bus. Plus, we provide utilities, cable TV, scheduled transportation, weekly housekeeping, and more. We see seniors go from survive to thrive, and that is just a wonderful thing. Call today for a tour or luncheon a tour and experience River Commons for yourself. 221-2121 or on the web river-commons.com.
Premier, your friendly oil change. Premier in all we do.
The seasons are changing. Keeping your family healthy is important. So is the health of your car. The longevity of your vehicle depends on you to make sure your oil, radiator, coolant, windshield wipers, and other vital systems have all been taken care of so your car can bring your healthy family through the seasons. Drive into Premier Oil Change today and experience the friendly oil change. Premier doesn't require an appointment, and you don't drop your car off or wait. Premier changes your fluids while you stay in the comfort and safety of your own car. Enjoy a free beverage and free Wi-Fi while our trained technicians perform our comprehensive 30-point certified service. Earn free oil changes with Premier Rewards. Learn more at PremierOilChange.com or visit us in Palo Cedro. Premier is in the Holiday Market Shopping Center on Lake Boulevard next to Waterworks Park, or in Anderson across from Round Table Pizza. All locations, you get a free car wash with every oil change. Home of the friendly oil change.
Get game day ready with Blackbeard Diner. Their family meals to go make perfect party platters for your game day crowd. Choose a party favorite such as chicken strips or cheeseburger sliders, new for the big game. And add a platter of golden onion rings for just $10.99. Visit BlackBearDiner.com to start your order. Look for Family Meals to Go. Pre-order starting Thursday, February 4th.
Black Bear Diner.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wynn Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
HGA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill we all have to pay? The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson state of mind.
You're listening to Free Fire Radio, 96.5 FM, 1460 AM. You're listening to Radio Wasteland with Chauncey and Kara. Find all our shows and archives by visiting Radio Wasteland at radiowasteland.us.
All right, welcome back to Radio Wasteland. You're listening to Chauncey and Kara talk about the Bohemian Club. If you don't know what that is, well, join the club. Not the Bohemian Club, but our club.
Yeah.
Before we went to break, we were talking about how Alex Jones stormed this. It got turned into two documentaries, both of which framed it in very, very different lights. But I was starting to touch down on the security of this place. And the security of this place is literally ex-military that takes care of the security. And it's also to the point where they rope in local police and state police in order to help with the security of this place. And there really have only been, including reporters and people straight up sneaking in, there have been like 4, maybe 5 people who have gotten in over the course of 80 some odd years. That's some pretty strict security, and it makes you wonder, you know, and then all women not allowed in there. I don't know. Right. It's a weird combination of like, I don't know. You say something. I'm kind of weirded out about all the directions this could possibly go in.
So, I mean, some fun facts about the ultra wealthy, you know, the 1%, the 0.1%, they are
as a group, overwhelmingly white Anglo-Saxon Protestants and men and old. Like, that is, you know, we're talking like...
Those are my people, Kara. Watch what you say. That's my tribe. You know, my wife will sit around the house and talk crap about middle-aged white men, and I'm just like, whoa, you don't need to be talking crap about my people.
That is fair enough. You're not Protestant, though.
Well, I think on a genealogy level, I am. I
mean, that is a fair point.
I'm not an active practicer, but...
Right, yeah. I'm just, these people, like, the rich as a group are, like, 80% that and, like, 20% anything else. So they do not look like America. There were, in fact, some, like, lawsuits and Supreme Court cases about the fact that the Bohemian Grove people did not hire any employees that were not men. And so now they are actually forced to hire women as well because of, you know, you can't only hire men. That's a clear violation of a lot of different laws.
Yeah, but I can't imagine women wanting to go to this thing. It's like my wife would be all, that's a pass, thanks.
Yeah. Well, that is true. But it's still perfectly legal to exclude women from membership for reasons, I guess. Which, I mean, it's still horrible to me because it's like this is a networking opportunity for the ultra-rich that is limited to men. Like, that is clearly a leg up that ultra-wealthy dudes are going to have over ultra-wealthy women.
Well, hey, let's throw a bone to our conservative listeners. Why would it be okay to have a women's only group but not a men's only group?
Well,
like,
why
can't I become a member of Curves?
I mean, it's perfectly okay to have a men's only membership group. It's my trouble with this is that there is no, like, women's group of equivalent power to the Bohemian Grove.
Apparently there is the Belize something, but I think it was started as a joke in New York mocking this. So I didn't do much research into it, but apparently there is a women's group.
I mean, does it include 5 ex-presidents and leaders of every major industry on Earth? If not, it's not really an alternative.
No, but thanks to the misogynistic structure of our country that we live in, I don't think it would have the option of having 5 ex-presidents and any leaders.
Well, that's exactly my point. Institutions like this just ossify the power dynamics of the past. You know, this is literally how racism and sexism get perpetuated. It's stuff like this. It's not, you know, guys in Klan robes saying, you are a successful black man, therefore you must die. I mean, that happens, but... That does happen, but it's mostly stuff like this where institutions just have really old-fashioned rules.
It's more through ostracizing.
It's just cliques. It's just wealthy white people form cliques, and they, you know, no one else can climb the ladder.
Maybe we at Radio Wasteland, we need to start some sort of ritualistic sort of thing so that, like, you know, 30 years down the road when we're doing this, more people can be, oh, well, for 30 years they've been getting together and covering themselves in blood and worshiping something. We'll come up with something.
There are lots of creepy pagan groups. The difference is that this is a creepy pagan group that have tons of money and power.
Yeah, you got to start somewhere, Kara. I mean, don't we want to be that?
Yeah, but you can't just choose to have money and power. You're born with it, or you get it through a cosmic combination of circumstances, or you're just a normal person for the rest of your life. You know, those are the options.
As a middle-aged white man, I gotta say that I believe that I might have some other opportunities.
Are millions and billions of dollars
Stick
coming
with me.
Coming
Stick
your
with
way?
Me. Well, yeah, all I right. mean, it is my birthright, isn't it?
that is what they want you to believe.
I don't know. I'm at a toss-up on this one. You know, I like to mock it. I like to make fun of it. And to be honest, I like to mock and make fun of a lot of things, everything from...
Sure. What would you do?
Religion to my children. I mean, nothing is off.
Nothing is sacred.
nothing is sacred. But I do see a lot of potential for a lot of shadiness. I see a potential for the start of some actual governmental shadiness, like you're saying. Mm-hmm. I also see this as being a potential firestorm kickoff to this whole QAnon movement that the world is in, that this is one right. of the things that possibly started that belief system. And then, you know,
I agree.
It's one of those things that makes you think like, okay, maybe Pizzagate, maybe.
Yeah. Honestly, I do believe a lot of the sex stuff because, like, you know, I don't know about orgies with masks, Eyes Wide Shut or stuff or anything like that, but, like, Harvey Weinstein, you know, Bill Cosby, a lot of rich old men are perverts. This is not breaking news. Like, so yeah. I have no trouble believing that there is some shady stuff that goes on from putting together a bunch of rich old men who are probably, you know, very horrible.
Well, I got two things to say about this. you know, this whole Eyes Wide Shut masks orgy thing, as a middle-aged white man, I gotta say that I'd be much more down with the orgy if I didn't have to wear the mask, but I could keep my t-shirt on. You know, I'd feel better about the orgy if I could do that. Be all, can I ditch the mask and keep my t-shirt? All right, I'm losing it. That's too funny. All right.
Well, I'll take your word for it.
You don't understand.
I don't understand.
I'm fat, man. I'm fat. All right. And then I'm not sure how to word this, but I figure one of our presidents said it. So I'm just going to straight up say it. Nixon said it. I'm going to say it. So forgive me if anybody finds any offense to this. Richard Nixon, who was a member, once described the camp as, quote, the most faggy goddamn thing you could ever imagine.
That is, will go down in history, I think, as the funniest thing Richard Nixon has said. And there are some strong contenders.
Yeah. And so when I saw that, I was like a little back and forth on this. I'm just all, okay, so this is like they're taking over the world, they're changing stuff, but then Richard Nixon's just a whatever, I want nothing to do with it, you know?
I mean, I don't think anyone likes Richard Nixon, and I think Richard Nixon definitely does not like other people.
Do you think it's because he tried to keep his t-shirt on at the orgy?
I think it's because he just has a slimy sheen at all times, and he just talks like the villain in a cartoon. Right. You know, he's just a very gross and blatantly untrustworthy man.
Yeah, yeah. But, well, at least he was only impeached once.
Wait, no, he wasn't impeached at all.
Well, at least they only tried once. All right, you're listening to Radio Wasteland. Tune in next week, or don't.
News from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life Your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.